pull out a few highlights, a few lessons that we can learn. But let's first, as we're kind of what we want to do, is look at Joshua and then one other character here in Joshua 1 and 2. There's two people who really stand out. But as we think about who Joshua is, let me sort of take you back to the earlier stages of Scripture and remind ourselves who Joshua is, because you might not even realize Joshua has sort of been around for a long time. If I were to ask you, maybe if you don't already know the answer, if I were to ask you sort of a trivia question, when's the first time in Scripture that Joshua was mentioned? I don't know. If I hadn't really thought about it, if I hadn't really studied it, I might say, well, probably somewhere at the end of Deuteronomy and then getting ready for Joshua. But the first time that Joshua is mentioned is all the way back in Exodus 17. That seems a little early to me. But that's where he was, because he's always been there with Moses. And in fact, there's one place where we'll see in Exodus 24, verse 13, he's called the assistant of Moses. But in Numbers 11, 28, it says he was the assistant for Moses from his youth. So evidently, Joshua has kind of always been around Moses and always been his assistant. But back there in Exodus 17, this is really interesting to me. Exodus 17 is that place where we have that battle with Amalek. You remember the battle where Moses was sitting up on that hill and the Israelites were down below fighting Amalek. And that when Moses would have his arms out, his hands out, that Israel would be winning the day. But as you know, it's not easy to stand with your arms out. You start to get tired. And every time he would lower his arms, Amalek would begin to win. And so they get that, there's that stone, and Moses sits on the stone, and Aaron and Hur are on each side, and they hold up Moses' arms, whatever image that was, holds his arms out, his hands up. Well, do you know who the general on the ground was during that famous war? It was Joshua. Joshua was the one down there at the down below working and fighting and winning. It actually says in Exodus 17, verse 13, that it was Joshua who overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So in that famous fight where Moses has his arms up, it's Joshua down there leading the charge. But the favorite story, my favorite story about Joshua comes when the 12 spies were sent in. This is Numbers 13 and 14. The 12 spies are sent in under the direction of Moses to go into the promised land, go into Canaan and search out, spy out the land, tell us what it's like. And remember, they go in, the 12 spies go in, and they see that it really is amazing. It's got everything. It really is just as beautiful as we'd been told. But there's also all these people, and they're big and scary, and there's these fortified walls, and they're thick and imposing, and so we can't do it. There's no way in the world we could ever overtake Canaan. It's just too fortified. 10 spies come back saying there's no way, but there's Caleb and Joshua who say, Caleb says, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome because God's with us. And Joshua's right there. So Caleb and Joshua and their families will be the only ones of that generation allowed into the promised land. You remember all those things, right? Look at Deuteronomy 31. This is sort of going to set the stage for us for the things we want to talk about from Joshua 1. Because everything we talk about Joshua and this other character we're going to see is centering around the idea of being strong and courageous. Strong and courageous in the way that God would have us to be. Look at Deuteronomy 31. Verse 7. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. You know, Deuteronomy is the passage, the whole book is where Moses is giving final instructions to the people of Israel before he goes away. It's time for them to finally go into the promised land, but he's not going to get to, so he's giving them the law one more time. This is the second giving of the law, so the people are ready to go into the promised land. And so Moses is sort of giving the final instructions before he goes away, and they go in. And so what he's going to do is get Joshua to be the new commander, the new leader. And in front of all the people, there's sort of a ceremony, if you will, where Moses, the one who's been looked to for so many years as the leader, the one that whichever way he goes, we go. Whatever he says is the word of God because it's from God. And now Moses is going away. And there's going to be this ceremony where Joshua takes his place as the leader. So Deuteronomy 31 at verse 7. Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It's the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you, so do not fear or be dismayed. Then drop down verse 23. The Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and he said, be strong and courageous. For you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. Then you turn over, scroll over just a little bit there to Joshua chapter 1. And it's there in Joshua 1 that same phrase, be strong and courageous, is going to be repeated 4 times just in Joshua 1. So we read it a couple of times in Deuteronomy 31. We're going to see it 4 more times in Joshua 1. Do you think God's trying to get our attention? When you repeat the exact same phrase over and over and over, it's kind of like maybe getting us by the shoulders. Hello, I've got a message for you. I've got something you need to get through your mind here. But I think there's something very special, very significant to this. I don't think God just repeats this same phrase over and over again because we have a tendency to forget or because we have a tendency to overlook things. I think each time this message is communicated, especially here in Joshua 1, there's a different nuance, there's a different message that's being communicated every time he says, be strong and courageous. And so that's what I want us to do for the next couple of minutes here is look at these 4 times in Joshua 1 that he's told, be strong and courageous, and see just exactly what it means. So what's happening here in Joshua 1 is that we finally have the death of Moses. And I don't mean that finally as in we've been anxiously waiting for it. But we've known that it's been coming. And so it says in Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead, so you arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people in the land I'm giving them to the people of Israel. And here's what I want you to see the first time. Verse 6. So this is what God says to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So here's the first time in Joshua 1 that this is said. Be strong and courageous. Well, why? Why should Joshua be courageous? Or really, to bring it to a personal level, to you and to me, why should we be courageous? Why should we go out these doors and into life, face Monday morning? Why should we be courageous with what we have in front of us? Is it just blindly, just total disregard for what pitfalls or dangers might be out there, and just with all foolhardy assurance, just run right into anything? Just be strong and courageous. Why should we be strong? Well, look at this in this first verse here. He says in verse 6, you should be strong and courageous because you're going to lead the people to get this land. He said, the special land, here's what God says, the land that I swore to the fathers to give. In other words, I made the promise. I promised so long ago that I'd give you this land, and I'm a guy, I'm a God, I'm the being, I'm the supreme, eternal, perfect one, who when I say something's going to be the case, it will be the case. God keeps his promises. You can go back to what he said to Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm going to make you so, give you so many descendants like the sand of the sea. I'm going to give you this land. To Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to give you this land. And so generations ago, God had promised to give this land, but just at the proper time, well, guess what? Now it's time. You can look back all those centuries. He promised Abraham. He promised Moses. And now here's Joshua, and he says, look, I'm the God who keeps promises. So what you can do is you can be strong and courageous knowing I made this promise. So go. We can be strong and courageous because we serve a faithful God, one who has both the will and the power to keep his promises. Consider Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, where he says here, and this is a passage we know because of, you know, Hebrews 13, verse 5, but it says in Joshua 1, 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you, and I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. I'll never leave you. Wherever you go, look at verses 3 and 4. These are the words that lead into that passage of I'll never leave you or forsake you. In verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. Just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon and as far as the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, all of it shall be your territory. Here's what he's saying. In other words, wherever you go, I'll be there. Go as far north as you can go. Go as far south as you can go. East, west, top of the mountain, lowest valley, I will be there. That ought to encourage him. That ought to make him think, you know what? Wherever the sole of my foot shall stand, I stand there with God. Wherever my knees shall bow, I bow there before my God. He doesn't leave me alone. And so therefore, I can be full of courage and I can be strong. Because when I know that that's the case, I am strong. That's why over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13, I said Hebrews 13, 5. That's the passage there that it says that you should be content with whatever you have. Well, how can I be content with whatever I have, with the lack that I may have? How can I be content with my possessions? He says, because you have the Lord. If you know that you have the Lord, then you can be content with whatever it is that you either do or don't have, because you have Him. And He's promised to be with me, and He doesn't fail to keep His word. So I can be content with what I have and where I am because I have God. And knowing that makes me strong. Knowing that gives me courage. Knowing that allows me to face the next day and the next week. Knowing that allows me to face the next task. Knowing that allows me to face the next turn of the corner where I'm not even sure what's around the next bend. But I know I go with God. And so I have courage and strength. And so Joshua 1:6 says this, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit a land," look at this, "that I swore to their fathers to give them, and I keep promises so you can be strong and courageous." Then the second one, verse 7, "Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Now here's the first thing to think about in verse 7. Almighty God, the one who made us all, who knows our hearts, He knows that it's not always easy for us to be obedient. Wouldn't that be great if every last one of us just were always kind, thoughtful, considerate, just the perfect image of God, just the perfect, obedient, faithful disciples of Jesus Christ? Never pray to any type of temptation. Never one to fall short in any type of way. But it's not always easy to be obedient. And so that's why there's this admonition here. He says, you be careful to keep the law. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. You be one who keeps the law. Be courageous in keeping it. Because here's part of the problem. Sin can be fun. Otherwise, if there was not any kind of sin that was never, ever fun, it would never, ever be a temptation, and everyone would be faithful. That goes back to Hebrews 11, 25. When Moses spurned, when Moses said no to the pleasures of sin, because there are some sins that for a time, at least in a way and in an appearance, can bring pleasure. But note there in Hebrews 11, 25, they're labeled fleeting or temporary pleasures of sin. What might start out as fun soon leads to tragedy. It soon leads to emptiness. It soon leads to ugliness. And so instead, the truth of the matter is, the life of obedience, the life of faithfulness, is actually the best life. Look at Joshua 1:8. He said here, don't turn to the right hand or left, do whatever. Don't turn, he said, that way you'll have success. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do all that's written in it. For then, if you're careful to keep the law, he says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. The life of obedience, the life of faithfulness, isn't always the easy choice. It's certainly not always the easy path. That's why Jesus called it, Matthew 7, 13, the narrow path that few take. Because it's a challenge. But so that's why he said, be strong and courageous and take the narrow path. Be strong and courageous and keep the law, because that's what leads to flourishing. That's what leads to success. That's what leads to prospering. Our peers and our culture, they're going to do their best to make us feel silly, make us feel uncaring or unintelligent when we refuse to just go the way of the tidal wave of all the others. but don't fall for the lie. Knowing that God expects my allegiance, knowing that God expects my obedience, that gives me courage because it lets me know He's called me to a different life. He's called me to a different place. He doesn't allow for me to just be amongst the rabble, be amongst what everybody else is doing, the way everybody else thinks, the way everybody else talks. I'm called to something different, something higher, something greater, something so much more beautiful. But that takes courage to live that kind of life. That takes the kind of strength that I don't have on my own, but that with Him, I can accomplish. Knowing that God doesn't call me to something that just can't be done without His help, that gives me courage. And so He said to Joshua, this is not going to be easy. There's going to be so many times where the people will rise up and plead with you to go this direction or go that direction. There'll be people that your advisors whispering in your ear as the leader, go this way, go that way, take this, take that. Be strong and courageous and stay faithful because that, your obedience, is what will lead to your success. Then verse 9, this is the third example. The Lord says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now here's, I think, the point being made here. Don't be frightened, he says. Because where are they? They're, if you have this image with me, they're sort of on this, this high place is the image that I have. A high place on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they can look over the Jordan and they can see there into the promised land. And they know what's on the other side, right? What's over there? What the Numbers 13 and 14, what the 12 spies, what they came back and said? Fortified cities. Terribly scary, intimidating people and armies are over there. And remember, Joshua's the kind of guy, he's been in wars before, right? I just told you about the war with Amalek that Moses had. And so every time those arms drooped, what did Joshua see up close? Death. He saw people right in front of him being ended, and most likely in brutal ways. Joshua has seen more death than he wants to see. He knows that to go into battle means ugly things. And so as he stands there on that high place overlooking the promised land on the east side of the Jordan, getting ready to cross over to the western side, he knows what it means to go to war. And so the Lord says to him, look, I know what it feels like. Because it can be hard, it can be scary to go and face that next enemy. You see, Joshua is smart enough to be concerned. He's smart enough to know that in a battle, there's people who get injured and there's people who die. It's the fool who rushes into a battle with just reckless abandon. The fool does that. Joshua knows. And so for you and me, we may not be standing on a precipice overlooking an imminent battle with literal swords and shields and spears, but we do face a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks of putting on the whole armor of God. Paul would write to the Christians in Corinth about being in a battle for minds and hearts. And here's the truth. When he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever we go, he's indicating there, look, I understand that things can be difficult. And for you and me, God says, I know the diagnosis can be scary. The surgery that you face can be scary. The death of a loved one and now facing life alone, that can be scary. You genuinely, in reality, you face things that are hard. But knowing God will see us through them gives us courage. Knowing that God won't abandon us as we go through these things gives us courage. And so here's Joshua. I can just picture this warrior, hand on a sword, arm through a shield. And he's afraid. He's still going to go, and he's going to lead his men like he's a powerful warrior. But there is not one single individual who doesn't go into a battle and isn't afraid, unless you just don't have anything. Not everything's connected upstairs. And so God says to him, knowing his heart, I made you, and I gave you the command. And since I give the command, guess what? We will win. So be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, because the Lord your God, I will go with you wherever you go. And that gave him courage, and they're going to go. Same should be true for you and me. Then there's this, the last time, the fourth time, verse 18. This is the last verse of Joshua 1. It says in Joshua 1 at verse 18, this time is not Joshua who says it. Remember, this time Joshua has stood in front of his people and he's told them, because there was these three tribes, Gad, Reuben, half-tribe of Manasseh, that they'd already had it all worked out with Moses. They're going to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan. They're not going to go live in the promised land. They're going to live on the eastern side of the Jordan. But they also had this deal worked out that the warriors had to cross over the Jordan, go fight with everyone else, and then once peace had been given, then they can come back home and stay and live on the eastern side of the Jordan. And so Joshua said, let's make sure we've got an understanding. Warriors, you have to come across, fight, and then you can come back. Do we have an understanding? And they essentially said this. This is verse 16. All you've commanded us, we will do, Joshua. Wherever you send us, we'll go, Joshua. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we'll obey you, Joshua. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Now listen to verse 18. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now do you notice what's happened here? This time it's not God speaking to his leader. This time it's not the leader speaking to his people. It's the people speaking to the leader, telling him, be strong and courageous. Now I think this is the key here. The reason why, among many others, why is it so important for us to be strong and courageous? Well, partly because it's a command of God. Partly because we know who God is, and so we there have evidence and reason for it. But here we see we should be strong and courageous because others are watching us. The way that we present ourselves, the way that we live, the way that we speak has an influence on others. And I'm convinced that these individuals here, these soldiers who are getting ready to go fight, they've seen the way Moses spoke about Joshua. You be strong and courageous and lead. They've heard Joshua say it. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. God is here. And so it's made an impact. It's finally one of those things that's gotten into their ears and sunk down into their hearts. And now it's coming out of their mouths because they are repeating it. And I know, personally speaking, like as a parent, as a teacher, aren't you so proud when the message that you've been trying to get into the students' hearts, you finally hear it come back? You want to do a victory dance, right? The students have heard. The children have heard. And that's the way Joshua is here. They've heard. They know that being strong and courageous is what needs to be done. Because you go back to the days of Caleb and Joshua. Let's go now. God is with us. The people in Joshua's day, they had learned. God had said it. Moses had said it. Joshua had said it. And now the people are repeating it back to Joshua. The people learn from the leadership. A lot of lessons to be brought out of that, but let's just note it and move on for sake of time tonight. The people learn from the leadership. And so let's be strong and of good courage. Now, I've just made an executive decision. You'll thank me for it. We'll just look at Joshua tonight. We'll look at Rahab next time. I got excited and preached a little longer than I thought I was going to. I thought we'd look at Joshua and Rahab both, but Rahab will be next week, Lord willing. The Lord said, be strong and courageous, I'm with you. You can go here, you can go there, you can go high, you can go low, you can go to the border here, the border there, and I am with you. You'll face difficult things. You're going to face an enemy who wants to kill you. You're going to face a situation in this war. He says, many of you will die. That's what happens in a war. But he says, but I'll be with you. I'll see you through these things that are hard. I'll see you through these things that are ugly. And I have a victory waiting for you that you can't even begin to imagine. And so the question just now is this, do I believe? And if I believe, what will I do? Will I demonstrate my belief in the Lord and his word and his message with my words and my life. For Joshua, he was called, and it said it, he repeated it again and again. Be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. So you can face that which is ugly. You can face that which is uncertain. You can face peers. You can face pressure. You can face all these things, because the Lord will see you through. Tonight, as we draw this to a close, I want to remind you that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, Joshua said to the people, these are Joshua's words, "The Lord is with us, so let us not fear." The Lord's with us, so let us not fear. We'll face things that are ugly, we'll face things that are hard, but we can get through them all because the Lord will never forsake us. If there's any way that we can encourage you, help you, pray with you, if you know that you've never obeyed the gospel to be cleansed and washed of your sins by the power of God, then we can help you with that as well. If there's any way we can encourage you, be strong and courageous and do what is right, following the plan of the Lord, and make your needs known while we stand and sing.